This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Last verse of our hymn, what I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life and teaching. So shall the kingdom's work be wrought and honored in your preaching. But watch lest foes with base alloy the heavenly treasure should destroy. This final word I leave you. Our epistle lesson today is from the book of James. And the book of James doesn't really come up in our lectionary that often for whatever reason. Perhaps because it's fairly short. There are some who say it's because Luther didn't like the book of James. And yet, on this Sunday in the church year, 5 years in a row in the 1530s, Luther preached on this very text. This text really is divided into two parts. The first part says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variation due to change. He says that all good and all perfect things are from God. Both of these things together come from him. Now, it's kind of a weird way of talking to say good gifts and then to say perfect gifts. What's the difference? Why are we talking about both these things? Aren't perfect gifts also good gifts? Well, yes, but St. James says this to draw a distinction that I think we sometimes overlook. When we're talking about good gifts, it's exactly what we think. The good things that we have here in this world, God gives to us. Our family, our friends, the things that support our lives. God gives us these things and they are good. There's no doubt about that. They are temporal good things, gifts God gives. And they come from God. But so also do the perfect things. And that's what James talks about next. What are the perfect things? Well, nothing in this world is perfect, is it? Not you, not me, not anything at all. All of it here on earth is corrupted by sin. But there are perfect gifts, things that come from God that sin cannot affect. The eternal promises of God. In fact, that's why in the Greek, the word for perfect here isn't just really good or something like that. It's a word teleos, which means complete, total, perfect. Luther talks about these things in this way. He says, in terms of good gifts and perfect gifts, the apostle comprehends all our blessings, those we have already received in the present life, the good things, and those that we are yet to receive in the life that is to come, eternal life with God, the perfect things. Both of these things come from God. God gives them to you by his grace. You even confess this in the small catechism. The good things that God gives you, he gives me clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home, wife, children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all I need to support this body and life. And in the second article, you make mention also of the perfect things as well. Talking about how Christ has died for your sins so that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he has been risen from the dead, so too will you. Perfect gifts, eternal life, both given to you by God. James, after saying good and perfect gifts come from God, says that these gifts cannot be taken away. After all, St. James says, God does not change. There is no shadow or variation within him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not lose something in this world. What it means is that God is always giving good things to you. And that will never change. Even if your favorite shirt gets a hole in it and you have to throw it away, God keeps on bestowing more and more things upon you. And he will world without end. He will not change his mind in heaven. It's not like you'll be bad company that he'll have to kick out after a few years. It's not as if he'll grow tired of you in heaven. He does not change. His promises are always true. These things are good news. God gives gifts. And he always will give gifts to you. So St. James begins with that good news. And then he takes an abrupt turn. After talking about how all these good and perfect gifts are given to you by grace, by God, through the work of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you, St. James immediately starts to talk about how we are supposed to live as a result. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Why does he go from talking about God's gifts to all of a sudden telling us what we ought to do? Why is there that abrupt change? Luther, when he preaches on this text, says, that's the case because as Christians, we are constantly tempted to leave the faith, to neglect the faith, to abandon the faith. Satan is working hard day in and day out to lead us away from the faith. Luther says, preaching on this text, that this happens to the Christian in two main ways, both of which St. James points out in our text. First, Luther says, leaving the faith happens when Christians become angrily impatient. James speaks about this when he says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Angrily impatience. That happens to Christians, doesn't it? When Christians look around themselves and they see people who are not as sanctified as they are, they become angry at them and impatient. What's your problem? They often say. Christians become angrily impatient when they look around the world and they see people who are successful, who are blessed, but don't have any faith. Lord, I'm faithful to you. Why are you giving that person the bigger house, the higher salary, the faster car? Can't you take care of me just a little bit? Christians become angrily impatient when they're faced with challenges or illnesses. Why do I have cancer, Lord? Haven't I always been in church? Why do I have Parkinson's or Alzheimer's? What did I ever do to you? Christians become angrily impatient. Christ foresaw it. He warned us that the life that we live as Christians would not be easy. Things would not always go the way we want. He said, "In this world you will have tribulation. If the world hates you, know that it hated me first." Our angry impatience comes about because we think once we're Christians, everything will be sunshine and rainbows. But it's not. Even the children of Israel suffered from angry impatience. They walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They saw God standing before them in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And what did they start to do? "We're hungry. We're thirsty. We're tired of manna. We're tired of quail. Are we there yet?" They grumbled against God. They grumbled against God's servants. Angry impatience. Second way that Christians struggle and are at risk of falling from the faith is, according to St. James and Luther, preaching on this text because of worldly lusts. James talks about this in this way: "Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word." These lusts, worldly filthiness and wickedness, involve all sorts of things. And not just things that affect the people outside of the church, things that affect people inside the church as well. There are so many things in this world that we love. There's so many things in this world we love more than we love God. Sometimes there's even things that we don't love, that we hate, but we're addicted to them. And so we cannot leave them behind. We lust after these things. Maybe wealth. Maybe worldly power. Maybe sex. Maybe drugs or alcohol. Maybe television. Maybe even your smartphone. You know about these things. When your smartphone's not in your pocket or where you can see it and you notice it, do you notice how your hands move? Do you go looking in the whole house for it? It's just a small piece of plastic and metal. And yet, we can't be without it. Lusts, filthiness, wickedness. These things tempt Christians to go against God's word. It happens like this. It's okay if I'm addicted to this or that. It's okay if I watch this or that, or if I do this thing because Jesus died for me. In fact, I'll do it even more. Then Christ can forgive me even more. Except that's the very thing Christ speaks against. And those words, when we use them wrongly in that way, are self-justification. These two things, angry impatience and being filled with lusts, hurt Christian faith. They put Christian faith at risk, and they can be summarized with one word: sin. Continuing in sin kills Christian faith. It's like God is giving you this gift, but you say, no, I love this stuff instead. Thanks, but no thanks. And so St. James warns us in our text to watch out, to put away these things, angry impatience and wicked lusts. And instead, he urges us to repent. To repent and, to use his words, to receive with meekness the implanted word. To receive with meekness the word of God. The Holy Spirit is always working in that word. The Holy Spirit does many things for you through that word. The Holy Spirit brings you the message of Jesus Christ, crucified for you and for your sins, risen from the dead for you, to show you that your sins are forgiven and that God gives you the perfect gift of eternal life. The Holy Spirit proclaims that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon you. He is, after all, Emmanuel, God with us, day and night, every day. And during our life, he will provide for us, giving us the good gifts that sustain our life in this world and the perfect gifts that sustain our faith in him. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus into our presence that our eyes may be fixed upon him, the author and perfecter of our faith. The implanted word teaches us how to live according to the faith that we confess. The implanted word teaches us how to be Christian, how to have that identity that rises up above all the other loves and lusts in this world and becomes the most important thing in our life. The implanted word. That word is Jesus. The Word made flesh, who dwelt among us. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus died for your sins. He set you free from angry impatience. He set you free from wicked lusts. He forgives your sins when you fall prey to these things, and he encourages you and sustains you as you seek to live apart from them. And the whole while, God keeps giving you good and perfect things. He bestows them upon you without any merit or worthiness in yourself. He pours them out upon you generously and lovingly. And because you belong to Jesus, the first half of the text is still true. Nothing can take God away from you. You are forgiven all your trespasses, and in Jesus you will live forever with God. There is no other truth more valuable. There's nothing more important. In Christ, there's no reason to be angrily impatient. In Christ, there's no reason to give in to wicked lusts. In Christ, there is found your hope. And that will never change. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.